Shada, the footy's on Triple M.
This is a Triple M footy news update.
This is massive, this story.
Got a little exclusive.
With Tom Brown.
It's Friday the 18th of June. My name's Rudy, and the Triple M footy news update with Tom Brown is here to pick apart the fallout from a massive tribunal hearing last night, Zach Merritt's newly signed Essendon contract, David Teague's future, and plenty more. I've got Tommy on the phone. How are you, Tom?
Yeah, good morning, Rudy. Just in isolation this morning because they've done a ruling that when you come back from Sydney, if you've been in the city of Sydney, you've got to get a test before you can go out. So we're just following the rules this morning. So I would have been in the studio with you, but I'm on the phone just waiting for the overnight test result, which will be fine.
I'm very glad that you're taking your responsibilities as an Australian citizen seriously, Tommy. That's very good to
hear. Yeah, absolutely.
First up, Tommy, let's get stuck into David McKay being cleared last night at the tribunal for last weekend's incident with Hunter Clark.
Yeah, so McKay has been cleared. As we sort of discussed on Wednesday, the tribunal found under the current rules, it wasn't a sufficient classifiable offence, so he's got off. Interestingly, McKay had quite a complex argument around the nature of the collision. There's a biomechanist called. They also were able to demonstrate that he had 0.04 of one of a second to basically prepare for the impact. So his defence counsel sort of rubbished the AFL's suggestion that McKay could have done something different in the circumstances, and he was able to get off. Now, the question now becomes what the AFL does. The AFL is not surprised by this result under the current rules. I think they just wanted to generate some discussion surrounding this type of impact this week. Steve Hocking, the AFL footy operations boss, is due to speak this afternoon, and I think we'll reiterate that. The real question is whether the AFL will now amend the rules. And my understanding is there is a chance the AFL could amend the rule to tighten that particular rule and increase the duty of care on a player. They could do it during the season, a bit like when they amended the Burgoyne dangerous tackle application, I think it was last year or the year before, or they could do it post-season, and Steve Hocking will address that this afternoon. But there is the possibility the AFL could introduce a rule change during the season to take account of the McKay bump or accidental bump or whatever you want, however you want to describe it. The tribunal, I think, applied the law correctly last night. At the moment, it's not a breach of the rules, but it could be soon.
Wow, a mid-season rule change is absolutely fascinating. Let's leave that one to one side because there's a lot to play out there and we just simply don't have time on this podcast. So let's chat instead about Zachy Merritt. He has committed to Essendon for 6 years, Tom.
A massive coup for the Bombers, Rudy. This is the richest contract the Bombers have ever signed. It's 6 years at up to $5.4 million or $900,000 a season. Bomber sources have suggested to me it's closer to $800,000 or $850,000 a year. And whilst that is a mega deal in anyone's language, they think it's good value because Merritt would have got more if he'd left. But Merritt's very committed to the future of the club, very involved in the future of the club. He obviously got himself back into the leadership group and showed great character in doing that. And he's regarded as a potential future captain. And Essendon, having lost players, have pulled this off. You know, Merritt was basically halfway out the door 6 months ago, and he's observed the changing culture under Ben Rutten and some of the improvements they've made, and it's just a huge coup for Bomber supporters. So a huge deal that I understand is somewhere between $800,000 and $900,000 a season. Some other list managers think it would be closer to $900,000 given the interest in Merritt, but Bomber sources tell me it's closer to $800,000 or $850,000, which is a good deal on any measure. And he's regarded as their best player, and it's a real coup for the Bombers, Rudy.
Yes, as I've said before, definitely worth forking out to keep him. Now, you said he was nearly out the door 6 months ago.
I think he was seriously considering leaving, particularly when those three or four players left last year. I think there's strong interest from Collingwood at one stage. I don't think they've got money for him necessarily this year, but there were certainly other clubs that would have paid up, even potentially Carlton. So he would have got a premium to leave, but he's elected to stay. So I think that he's turned almost, well, he's at 180 or 360 in the space of 6 months
yep.
or so.
Yeah. Big tick for the future of Essendon, as you said, and for the culture at the club. So that's they're kicking goals everywhere, the Bombers at the moment. Let's move on to a club kicking fewer goals, Carlton, Tommy.
Yeah, my view, Rudy, is that if Carlton lose against the Giants this weekend, they'll be 4-9, and David Teague will be under similar numerical pressure to Nathan Buckley. Not many coaches at a club like Carlton in their situation will be able to withstand that heat. So I think there's huge emphasis on their performance against the Giants. I think their win-loss record is sort of slipping below the radar a little bit. If they lose this weekend, if they lose, they'll be 4-9. Having said that, Mumford's out, which is, I think, a big benefit to Carlton. But if you go through the facts surrounding Carlton, you know, they went after Williams with that 6-year deal. They went after Fogarty. They gave up pick 8 for Saab. They gave up about $2.5 million. You know, they spent that money on those three players. They were ready to go, and they're not going to make finals. And if they go 4-9, it's going to be big pressure on David Teague. The outstanding, they signed Harry Mackay this week, who I note endorsed Kane Liddell and Brad Lloyd, which is great. I was a bit surprised by that. It's a bit strange to hear that from a player, but they signed Harry Mackay. But the big question now for mine is where Patrick Cripps' signature is, and that's going to be the question over the next few weeks.
Do you have any line of sight on that? I know there was talk about a month ago saying that it was imminent and it hasn't appeared yet.
Well, the reports that it was done are, I think, now factually incorrect, and I'm not one to call out reports on this podcast. It's other people's journalism. But Carlton were giving strong signs that it's done. And Cripps gave a strong indication it was close when I spoke to him in Sydney 2 Fridays ago at their co-major sponsorship launch with, I think it was Great Southern Bank. So, but since then, it hasn't seemed to progress. And there's outstanding issues in regards to the contract. Now, I think they're resolvable, but the question is whether their performance at the moment and David Teague are those two outstanding issues. And I guess we'll get better line of sight on that in the next few weeks.
Yes, indeed. There's a fair bit to play out at Carlton, I think.
There are some signs from sources, Rudy, that there's still the threat of board action at the end of the year based on this win-loss ratio. There's frustration. And there's still sources that tell me some of the players are potentially off David Teague. Now, you've got to be careful around those types of reports because you hear all sorts of different things, but they're coming from the right places. So I think there's huge pressure on them to win and improve that win-loss ratio, put it that way.
Another wait and see. Now, Tommy, you wanted to discuss St Kilda. They held a members forum yesterday.
A members forum yesterday where the members were able to submit questions. My key take out of it was they don't think there's any fitness issues with the group. They think there's some sort of effort issues, which I thought was an interesting comment. And I guess the question now is whether St Kilda will have a review of the reviewers, which I think Eddie Maguire flagged on Footy Classified the other night as being a possibility. I don't think there'll be a review. I think Simon Lethlean is sorting this out basically at the moment. I do think there's some, my own observations are there's some sort of duplicate sort of functions going on at St Kilda. It's unusual they've got Lethlean as a COO and Matt Finnis as the CEO. And I wouldn't be surprised if Lethlean eventually assumes some more responsibility and even steps up to that role within the next 6 to 12 months. But that'll all play out. But I don't think there'll be a formal review. But St Kilda's searching for answers, certainly at the moment, and there was a members forum on that yesterday, Rudy.
Yeah, indeed. A lot of soul-searching going on at the moment at St Kilda. They've just slipped so far back from where they were last year. Now, Tommy, a big story that broke last week was Hawthorn's Mitch Lewis. He'd been concussed in sort of a boxing sparring session at training, and he's set to miss another week this weekend.
Yeah, the AFL's investigation on this continues. I think it's highly likely that boxing, as a result of this investigation, just as a general principle at clubs, will effectively be banned. Some of the slightly casual language from Hawthorn on this issue is beginning to be criticised. I noticed Damien Barrett referred to it in his AFL.com.au column today, where Clarko said last Friday night that Lewis zigged when he should have zagged, and the CEO, Justin Reeve, said he got hit on the scone. I mean, it does... I don't want to single out Clarko or Reeves because I'm sure they were just trying to speak in relatable terms. But there has been some casual language regarding concussion from the club. I don't think it'll be the subject of the main focus of the investigation. It'll be more around why the fact that he wasn't wearing headgear and how it happened. But there could be a resolution on that from the AFL as soon as today. In regards to Lewis's concussion, he's missed again this weekend. He would be eligible to play this weekend because it's 14 days Sunday since the... 13 or 14 days since the concussion took place. Having said that, the protocols kick in, which is the 12 days post-symptoms. So whilst I'm told overnight by Hawthorn that he's free of symptoms now, the 12 days hasn't fully resolved itself, which is the mandatory period, and he's still got to work through those protocols. Plus, Hawthorn wanted to take a conservative view and just manage him carefully coming back from his concussion. But it just shows it was obviously a pretty significant blow for him to obviously miss this weekend. And those 12 days to go be over 12 days. And, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if the AFL does something about it, but we're going to find out hopefully this afternoon or on Monday or Tuesday.
Indeed, I imagine that is firmly in their sights. Now, before we wrap up for the week, Tommy, Collingwood always in the news. What's happening there?
Your latest on Dane Beams, I keep trying to investigate the treatment of his payout. Beams himself put on record on SEN last week or the week before that in Beams' view, the payout was excluded under Collingwood salary cap. It's become clear that some other clubs have applied for similar relief before and didn't get similar relief, which is effectively a carve out by defining his mental health as an injury. I think my understanding is that the payments were treated as an injury under the TPP, which allows you to exclude some of those, all or some of it, out of the total player payments. And other clubs, I think, will want visibility on the criteria for defining mental health as an injury, so they might be able to do similar things in the future. So it opens a bit of a Pandora's box. And the AFL, whilst they said it was in accordance with the rules in a statement to me on Sunday night, they haven't come out this week and said how much or what proportion or what the criteria is for mental health being an injury. So I think it'll continue to generate discussion. In regards to the Collingwood Extraordinary General Meeting, David Hatley, who was organising the paperwork, has pulled out of that this week. He says because a meeting was leaked between him and the club. I don't even know who knew about that, so query who leaked it. But the important thing there is I think that the people with him doing the petition have told Seven News, told sources close to me, that they'll continue to push with that petition. And the club has brought forward its annual general meeting to December, but that's only three of the seven board seats, not the full seven. So there's still a push for that extraordinary general meeting, particularly post-season, so it doesn't interrupt the season by the people that were assisting Hatley.
So, again, as always, plenty to play out at Collingwood there, Tommy.
And there's just a story this morning, Rooney, about four Port players going to swimming last night and not wearing masks. And we saw Adelaide fined heavily for that $50,000 when their officials and players didn't wear masks on a flight back. It was a condition of entry, I think, for the Swimming Australia meet that you do wear masks. And the photo published in the Advertiser shows spectators around the four players, they were all wearing masks and the four players weren't. So the AFL is obviously looking at that this morning. It looks like it'll attract, I think, probably a reasonably heavy fine.
Yes, you'd imagine so, especially with the precedent set by the Crows issue there. Before I let you go, Tommy, you'd be hoping your COVID test comes in so you can go to Geelong tonight for the footy.
Yeah, I'm hoping it comes through any moment. I mean, we didn't go to any exposure sites up in Sydney. We're just sort of going about our business. But that's the directive. So hopefully, fingers crossed for Friday night footy, Rudy. Tara had hers done this morning, and I had mine done at the drive-through in South Melbourne last night. So I'm hoping that they've got their skates on and it comes through.
Yeah, you should be okay. The last time I had one done, it came through in about 16 hours. So I reckon you'll be okay.
If it goes past 16 hours, Rudy, I'll get nervous.
No, I think you'll be okay. Thanks for calling in, Tommy. Hopefully next week we can finally have you back in the studio. Have a great weekend in footy, and we'll speak to you soon.
Thanks, mate.